I am Bernard Joins, and for the next few moments, we're going to be looking at the subject of four imperatives of the resurrection. The most significant event in history of this planet was the resurrection 3 days after the death of Christ. If the resurrection did not take place, as is stated in the Scripture, then Paul says our faith is vain and we are yet in our sins. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 17 through 19. The resurrection was the greatest defeat Satan ever suffered. Little wonder, then, that he should seek to discredit it and destroy people's faith in it. But the resurrection really happened. It is the great reality of history. It will bear our investigation. It will stand the test of scrutiny. When the two Marys came to the tomb on the morning after Christ rose, they were greeted by an angel with these words, "He's not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." Matthew 28, verses 6 and 7. In this statement, there are four imperatives which still speak urgently to us across the expanse of 20 centuries. The first one is come. The resurrection offers us a great invitation. Jesus came to the world to seek and to save the lost. Luke 19 and verse 10. He came to call men back to God. God does not compel us to serve him. He invites us. We come by choice, not by conscription. We come initially through obedience to the gospel in the act of faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, Romans 6, 3, and 4. We must come to the empty tomb not just once a year, but every day in the thoughts we think and the lives we live. If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, Colossians 3, 1 says. The second imperative is see. The resurrection urges verification. We are summoned to investigate, to probe, to weigh the evidence. The resurrection will stand scrutiny. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that the resurrected Christ was seen by more than 514 eyewitnesses, and he was seen in broad daylight. Frightened, defeated, frustrated disciples became fearless preachers of the resurrection. People do not fearlessly die for a fraud. The blood of the martyrs speak eloquently of the reality of the empty tomb. After 2,000 years, we can still see that Christ is risen. The third word is go. The resurrection places us under obligation. We are called to undertake a mission. The two Marys were to go and tell the disciples the truth about the resurrection. Later, the risen Lord would send those disciples into the whole world to tell the news to every creature about the resurrection. Matthew 28:19-20, Mark 6:15-16. And the empty tomb demands mobility. We must be willing to go. In this world, we have no continuing city. We're not here to settle down. Unfortunately, many Christians do not give the impression that they are on the go for God. But the fourth word is tell. The resurrection demands proclamation. It is not a secret to be kept or knowledge to be hoarded. It is good news, the gospel, to be shared. And we are to share the fact that Jesus is risen. Men have a Savior. Wake the world and tell the people. Say it in words as well as by deeds. It is not enough to commemorate the resurrection once a year. Every day in word and deed, we must proclaim the living Savior to a dying world. And on the first day of every week, we proclaim his resurrection by the remembrance of his supper, as we are told to do in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. And Jesus rose from the dead, and the world has never been the same since. The reality of the empty tomb can transform empty lives. But it is little matters to you personally that Jesus rose from the dead if you have not been raised with him. You see, that will make all the difference in eternity. Romans 6, 4, and 5. We must become participants in the resurrection through obedience to the gospel. Still, the angel commands, come, see, go, tell.